Mother's Day, a day we set aside to honor our mothers, living or dead. I want to share a little statistic. Behind Easter and Christmas, Mother's Day usually draws the highest attendance, third highest attendance in most churches, right there in that. But also, a little history behind Mother's Day. I don't know how many of y'all ever knew. I always just grew up Mother's Day, just knowing it was a day we celebrated moms. But I didn't know how it began. It actually started back in the 1900s, the early 1900s, by a lady, Miss Anna Jarvis. She was the daughter of Anna Reeves Jarvis, who in 1905 passed away, and Miss Anna Jarvis came up with the idea of Mother's Day, a way to honor her mother and other mothers that they made sacrifices for their children. She envisioned a day devoted to family time and personal acts of remembrance. And in May 1908, she had organized the first official Mother's Day celebration at a Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia. Now, following this success of that Mother's Day, she started a massive writing campaign. She wrote letters to newspapers, prominent politicians, urging them to adopt a special day honoring motherhood. Well, by 1912, many states and towns and churches had started doing this. And then in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a declaration making the second Sunday of May as the nation's official Mother's Day. I never really knew that. Like I said, growing up, I just knew it was Mama's Day. Never really knew the background behind it. But let me share this with you. Miss Anna Jarvis, she was never married and never had children. Yet God gave her the vision to do this. Even though she was never married, never had children all her life in that. So it shows. And the title of the message is, Moms Make a Difference, and they do. They do make a difference. Now, I understand this day might stir up lots of hard emotions. For some, it's a day of sorrow as their mothers are no longer with them. I can fully understand that. Some suffer from the pain of a lost child or an estranged child whom they haven't seen for some time. For others, they never really had a good relationship with their mothers, so it's a hard day because they don't like to be reminded of it. And others that have struggled with infertility, never had children, therefore they feel like they cannot be included in this day. Well, let me say something about that. I've known women right there that for whatever reason they couldn't have children or didn't have children. But you know what they did? They made a decision to invest in the children's lives around them. And I can say I'm one of them. That I knew a lady at Edwards Baptist Church. And she never had children, her and her husband, Mr. Billy and Sarah Smith. But she took the time to invest in lives, in the children's lives around them. So she became something like a spiritual mother to me. Sorry, that Edwards draw just came on out, mutter right there. Apologize on that. But she became a spiritual mother to me. But people go through these. They have all these emotions. Some people would ask, well, why even have a message about Mother's Day like that when you know that's happening? When you know people are struggling with this. Well, today I want to reinforce that God created mothers both for physical and spiritual differences. You see, not only did our mothers give birth to us physically, but they're also spiritually to help us. And they make a difference in this world around us. And I want to look this morning in Scripture. I want to look in 2 Timothy. And we're going to see one this morning. Now, I'll give you a little background behind who is Timothy. He's got two books after him in the Bible. That ought to speak a lot for him right there. He was a protege of Paul. Timothy, his father was Greek and his mother was Jewish. So he was half Greek and half Jew. It is believed, it's not record of it right there, but from what all accounts, his father was not a believer. But we do know from what we're going to see this morning, his mother became a believer and so did his grandmother. He's from Lystra. And actually, his mother became a believer. Is believed is found in Acts chapter 14. We're not going to look at that one this morning. But Acts chapter 14, you go back, and we believe that's where actually his mother became a believer. And so did Timothy and his grandmother. That was Paul's first missionary journey where he came to Lystra. And actually, he healed a crippled man. And guess what happened not long after that? He was drug out of the city and stoned and left for dead. Then he came back into Lystra preaching the gospel. So that'll give you some background of what happened right there. So we see Paul writing to Timothy this morning. He's writing to him and he's going to talk about some things. So let's look at the first verse right here of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm sure that it is in you as well. So Paul is writing to Timothy and he's thinking of Timothy and his faith. And he uses the phrase sincere, genuine, right there. And it can literally be translated unhypocritical faith. It was not an act. It was true. It was real. It wasn't an appearance. So when Paul is saying that, he is telling Timothy, your faith is real, just like your grandmother and mother. He shares where it came from. He does right there with it. He says, which was first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Now, like I said, you can go back to Acts 14, and that's where it's believed that they actually became believers at that point in time. But obviously, they believed in God beforehand. Then they became a believer of the way. That's what it was called back at that time. They wasn't called Christians at that time. They were called the way. Then they became known as Christians. That's what we are, as believers. And here Paul is reminding him of where it came from on it. Because again, remember, Paul's father was Greek. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us that. Doesn't give us anything else about him other than it says he was a Greek. And actually, when you read the language of it and all, it gives the emphasis that he did not believe. Well, I say that to say this. Back in Roman time, the father had absolute authority over the family. Absolute authority during Roman time. So that would tell me that if Timothy's father was not a believer, his home situation was less than ideal. Kind of makes me think, hey, real life here, folks. We read about them in the Bible and they're just like you and me. His real life situation right there. His father was not a believer. His mother became a believer. So did his grandmother. But his genuine, sincere faith was due to his godly upbringing and influence from his grandmother and mother. You see, his mother was his physical mother and spiritual mother. She gave birth to him. But his grandmother was his spiritual mother, too. She helped in that. You see, God wants to use parents and grandparents to lay the foundation and help nurture that saving faith to their children and grandchildren. That's His plan. He wants to use us, parents and grandparents. We don't rely on anyone else, even though it's good. Come to church. Come to Sunday school. Sunday school teacher. Like I told you before, I can remember growing up, and the Sunday school teachers that I had growing up influencing my life. But my mother wasn't taking that chance on it being just them. Same thing here with it. God has called us to lay that foundation. And it doesn't end, grandparents. It doesn't end just because you're the grandparent. It still goes on. So on this day, as we celebrate mothers, I'm reminded that they do play a vital role in God's plan beyond just being the physical birth mother. So how is it done? That's the question I'm going to ask this morning. How is this done? Well, we just read the first one. The first step in how to make a difference in lives is what we just read. Mothers, you must be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, fathers and other people in here, don't think I'm just picking on mothers. This is Mother's Day, but guess what? You're included in this as well. Like I said before, usually with the attendance, Mother's Day is the third highest in churches. You want to know why? Because Daddy shows up finally for church. They don't normally do. Or a child finally shows back up for church that doesn't normally show up. But they do that for the mama at least one day a year. That's what happens with that. And it starts right here, folks. Again, the first step is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to make a difference in your child's life for Jesus, you must have faith in Him first. That's what we see when we read that about Lois and Eunice. They believed in Jesus Christ. They even believed before they heard about Him, because they believe in the sacred writings. We're going to read about that in a little bit. The Torah, the Old Testament. Remember, the New Testament was just being written. But the first step is to believe in Jesus Christ. At the age of 10, I felt God's calling me to believe in Him. So I was baptized and joined Edwards Baptist Church. It wasn't long after that that my mother decided to be baptized and join the church. She was already a believer. She grew up here in Vicksburg and went to the Episcopal Church. But she was already a believer, but she felt the Lord lead to join Edwards Baptist Church after I had made my decision and joined in as well, right there, even though she was a member of it already attending. But she already believed in Jesus Christ. That's where it starts for anybody. I know this is Mother's Day. Yes, I'm going to pick on mothers. But for anybody, it starts with Jesus Christ. You want to make a difference in this world, in the lives around you? You start it with Jesus. That's where it begins. That's what we see right there. Their faith. I am mindful of the sincere faith within you that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it is in you as well. Where does that faith come from? The belief of Jesus Christ. The next step we see is actually found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Chapter 3, we're going to read verses 14 through 15 right now. Again, Paul is writing to Timothy. This ties it in as well. You, however, continue in the things, this is verse 14, you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to the salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul is writing Timothy, and he tells him this. He says, you have known from childhood. That means it came through him from someone, the influence of his grandmother and his mother, Lois and Eunice. Because he says, you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Who did he learn them from? His mother and grandmother. You see, he also uses this word right there with it from childhood, early on. Actually, right there in the Greek, the words translate a very young child with it. And the word denotes that Timothy was instructed from the sacred writings at a very early age. Now remember, they didn't have the New Testament then. So this would have been the Torah, the Old Testament, with it. So that's why I said they believed in God before they believed in Jesus. Because they were believing in the Torah. Because actually, I'm going to read this to you. You don't have to turn to it, but I'm going to turn to it. This is actually Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 through 9. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit at your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and that shall be on your frontals, on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. They were just doing what God commanded. Share the scriptures with your children. They were sharing the scripture, the sacred writings, with Timothy. Guess what, mothers? Guess what, fathers? We're to do the same thing. We're to do the same thing. Grandmothers, grandfathers, we're to teach the scriptures to our children. We're to teach it to them. Because look what Paul, go back over to 2 Timothy right there. And Paul, in verse 14, you, however, continue in the things. He puts emphasis in there. Actually, in the Greek, it is continue, emphasized more and more. You see, nothing is assumed. Studying God's Word is not a one-done deal. You don't do it in your childhood and that's it. You continue to grow in the Scripture, studying, reading. I know even for myself right there. I told you I was saved when I was 10 years old. Went to church. But one thing I was never taught, and I'm not pointing a finger at anybody on this. I was never really taught that a quiet time was needed. I was never taught that I needed to spend time in God's Word daily. I did not get that until actually I got to college and I came across other believers. That's what they were doing. And I was like, oh, that's important. It is important. And parents, it starts with us teaching our children to continue in that. Paul right there was telling Timothy, his protege, don't stop. Continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing that whom you have learned them. Now, I shared at the start, there might be a mother here, might a family here that their child has gone wayward. And you might be thinking, well, Brother Roddy, I did those things, but my child still made bad decisions growing up. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. But you can't control what the child does when they become adult. All you can do is pray for them and let them know you're praying for them. On that. Continuing with that. Because that is all part of it. From childhood, he's known the scriptures. We too are to do the same thing, to continue with the scriptures. Why is that? Look what else it says right there. And from childhood, you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Continuing the things you learn because of their great value. There's no greater wisdom than this, God's Word in this world. No greater wisdom. Now, don't go back and say, well, Brother Roddy told me I didn't need to go to school. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you right now, you want wisdom, you want knowledge, it starts here. God's Word. This is where it starts. And we have to let our children know that. You see, even though each generation can be taught this, they must learn to acquire that for themselves and hold on to the wisdom of the Bible. And when doing that, they also must be deliberate about forsaking any human wisdom that opposes the Bible. In other words, what God's Word says is the truth. It is the truth. We hold to it. If something comes from one side that says, no, this is something different, they need to say no. But how do they come to that? By studying the Scriptures? By being taught at an early age? To be in God's Word? And where does it come from primarily? Mothers. Because who's around the children the most? Their mothers. Matter of fact, we were having conversations back there in the breakfast, and thank you for that breakfast. I was hearing people talk about, well, the father's off on work. The father's doing this. And that happens. That happens. So the mothers are the ones with that have a responsibility, that make that biggest impact right there, because they're around the children the most. Not downplaying the fathers. Remember, I told you, you're equal in this as well. God told you to. You have to help as well in this. And that'll be for June 21st then, maybe. Father's Day on that. But God has called us and commanded us to make a difference in our children's lives. And mothers, it starts with you. Because nothing compares to that mother and child bond. Nothing in this world. You see, you can be 80, 90, 100 years old, and you're still a mother. Even though your children might be gone, you're still a mother. Because nothing compares to that bond between that mother and child. Even when that child makes you want to pull your hair out, you still love them. You still love them. And God is telling us, you're vital in this. That's what I said. I want to reinforce this morning to you. Because that is His plan, to share the gospel with the children, with your children, starting at home. Then it goes out beyond. Well, let's not stop there. We're going to finish out the Scripture here with this. Verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. Now, this is one whole sermon by itself right here, I could do, but everybody wants to leave today, I know. But look what it says right there. All Scripture. I cannot emphasize it enough right there with that. All the Bible is it. All of it. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, all the Bible is profitable, it says. That means the Bible will always be our very best for us. Like I said before, you go to school, you get your education, you learn from those, but here's your foundation. God's Word is your foundation. We must put it first. God's Word is profitable. Why? So every man, every person of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now, that child might drift away a little bit. But at some point in time, that child's going to come back. Why? Because the foundation has been laid. You know, the house can be completely blown down, but the foundation still be there. Where's the foundation? God's Word, Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. And mothers, you're responsible for laying that. I want to share this story with you. Story about a young boy growing up in Mississippi. From the youngest age, he can remember it was shared with him that in everything you do it for the Lord. And what that means is that whatever you're doing in life, you do it for the Lord and you do it your very best. Whether it be a CEO of a major company or you're riding on the back of the garbage truck picking up garbage and anything in between, you do it for the Lord and you give it your very best. Now, the people that shared that with him, two ladies. One of them had a sixth grade education. The other one about the same. And that young boy is me. You see, I learned that from my mama, who had to drop out in the sixth grade to help her family. I could remember when I made sixth grade, sitting there at the table with my mother, teaching her sixth grade education some stuff. Because she didn't have any more than that. But you know what she knew? She knew God's Word. And she would always say that. Whatever you do, Roddy, you do it for the Lord. It don't matter what you're doing. Do it for Him. And then I heard it from my grandmother, my father's mother, sitting on her porch countless times there at Edwards. And hear her tell me, Roddy, whatever you do, you do it for the Lord. Don't do it for man. You do it for Him, and you will put your very best forward. And that has stuck with me. I've shared before with people, I didn't learn that from seminary. I didn't learn it from professors. I didn't learn it from theologians. I didn't learn that from pastors. I learned it from one lady who only had a sixth grade education. And then my grandmother, whom I don't even know if she did have graduated high school. I asked my father about that before. He didn't really know. But growing up back then, things happen. Whatever you do it for the Lord. And you give it your very best. Something as simple as that, mother, sharing with your child. Not just one time, but constant. Repeatedly. It's not a one and done deal. You must be doing it all the time with that. And it will stick with them. Here I am, 57 years old. I might not can remember all the scripture in the Bible. There's some verses I can remember. But you know what? That right there has stuck with me all my life. That whether I'm standing up behind a pulpit preaching, or I'm at the camp digging a ditch, which I've done that a few times, I'm doing it all for the Lord, and I'm to give it my very best. Why? Because that's what I was brought up on. Continuing what you've learned right there. Continuing the things that you've learned and become convinced of, knowing them from whom you have learned them. The wisdom that leads to salvation. Mothers, this is Mother's Day. And I want to challenge you. If you're here this morning and you're not a believer, I don't know where you're at. I don't know your walk with the Lord. But if you're not a believer this morning, I want to challenge you, encourage you to make that decision this morning to put God first. To believe in Jesus Christ, and guess what you will do? You will start, you're beginning that foundation of laying it for your children. Grandparents here, fathers even. Like I said before, this is Mother's Day, but I'll pick on fathers a little bit. Because a lot of times what I see in churches, and I've been around through a lot of them, I see mothers bringing the children to church more than I see fathers. Granted, some of them are working. I understand that. But then there are a lot of them out there on the golf course. There are a lot of them out there deer hunting. And I'm a deer hunter. You know, they're just not there where they need to be in that. If you're here this morning, you're not a believer, I want to encourage you right now to make that decision to believe in Jesus Christ and start that foundation in making the difference in your children's lives and the lives around you. You might be here this morning, a lady doesn't have children. I shared that before with you. You feel like this day is not your day, but it is. Because guess what? You can be that spiritual mother to children of this church, just like there was for me when I was growing up. You can be the same. This message right here, as I said before, is not just for mothers, but for everyone. If you want to make a difference for the Lord, it must start with Jesus Christ. You want to make a difference in your family? It must start with Jesus. You might be here and you're a believer. I want to encourage you this morning to strengthen that walk with the Lord. Make that commitment to Him. Make that commitment to walk closer with Him and be that example. Just like what I read back over there in Deuteronomy right there. As it says, when you talk on them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you live the Word of God. Live it out in front of your children, in front of your grandchildren, always in that. We're going to have this time of invitation. And in this moment right there, it's between you and God. It's not about me. It's not about anybody else. It's between you and God. And like I said, if you're a mother here right now and you do not know Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to come and make that profession this morning. I'll pray with you. If you want to come down and rededicate, I'll pray with you. You can come kneel at this altar. Just understand this, it's between you and God. You want to make a difference. You must first begin with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come to you right now and I thank you for this time. I thank you for this opportunity you've given us. Lord, during this time of invitation, if there is someone here who doesn't know you, God, I pray that they will come down today and come to that saving knowledge. Lord, we do thank you for our mothers. Lord, and if there's one here who wants to strengthen her walk with you, or even fathers or grandfathers and grandmothers, I pray they will do it this morning. Lord, we lift you up right now. We pray this in your Son's Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
If you would stand, our hymn of invitation is Have Thine Own Way.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence humbly I bow.
Morning, celebrate in memory of your mother or with your mother or grandmother. A little tidbit of knowledge to share. Miss Anna Jarvis, who founded Mother's Day, she actually walked away from it because it got to be commercialized. Because she wanted it to be about a time of celebrating the sacrifices of mothers and a time of remembrance. But it got to be even more stuff going on, which is not bad. But this is a time to spend with your family. I want to encourage you to do that. That's it.
All right, it's been a good day to be in the house of the Lord, amen. I know that I can say that I was one of those wayward sons, and it took a praying mother that refused to give up on me and told everybody that she knew about my problem and told them to pray. And I'm so thankful that she did, because that's the reason I am here today, because she taught me Jesus and she took me to Jesus and let him do the work. So thankful for all you mothers out there and all the ladies of our church, really, because y'all are the ones who hold everything together. Y'all always outdo us men. And us men need to step it up. Amen. All right. Well, let's sing What a Day It Will Be as we get ready to leave.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Y'all have a blessed week.